This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald's Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber of Commerce at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888.
Thank you, Charles, and welcome everybody to the Studio Basin podcast. Today we've got some interesting topics. The first one is taters, because we all love taters.
We all love taters.
Also known as potatoes.
And they are still legally a vegetable right now, though there are some people trying to change that.
Okay, well, but as long as we can still boil them up, mash them, stick them in a stew, we'll be all right.
Absolutely.
Right? So I know you've been out of town at the potato conference, and folks can read about it in the paper, but can you give us a couple of highlights from, you know, hanging out with potato farmers and potato professionals?
Well, the Washington Potato Commission and the Oregon Potato Commission every year sponsor it's 2 days basically for attendees, but it's the whole week, and it's like the third or last week in January, full week in January, and they hold that down in the Tri-Cities in Kennewick at the Three Rivers Convention Center, which I am now intimately familiar with, having been to 5 years in a row for various and sundry conferences. It's the only part of Kennewick I know. And it's basically an exposition of all things potato. They have scientific sessions from researchers at the University of Idaho, Washington State University, Oregon State, the USDA's Agricultural Research Service, all talking about nematodes and mold and potato hardiness and all of the things that you need to do to get your potatoes to survive the summer, which are getting hot. Plus, they have industry updates. And this year, the industry was focused on the image of potatoes. The United States Department of USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services are getting ready to rewrite the Dietary Guidelines for America. And there is a group of people who are authoring that who apparently wish to have potatoes. I was about to say taters. Potatoes reclassified as something other than a vegetable. They want to list it down there with processed grains and sugars from a dietary perspective. And it's the only vegetable that nutritionists, many are encouraging people to eat less of. I will go into it, that there will be more details in a published story about this later, but this is the focus this year. Both potato commissions are, what can we do about this? How can we lobby? Because it's the legal definition, and so this, it may sound silly, is the potato a vegetable or not? But at the cornerstone of this is federal law and regulation, and if the United States government no longer views potatoes as a vegetable, it changes how it's treated for the school lunch program, it changes how it's treated for the Women, Infant, and Children's program, it's changed how it's treated for food purposes of buying food for food stamps. It could even change how potatoes are treated by Department of Agriculture specialty crop commodity support programs.
Well, and, you know, quite frankly, especially for the region that we cover for the Herald and for the Basin Business Journal, this is big business.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of silly to say potato conference, but, you know, I mean, there's billions of pounds of potatoes produced every year, millions and hundreds of millions and probably billions of dollars in that industry. So it is a significant thing. You know, and one of the things that I would tell folks is we've already got some stories out about the conference on what happened on day one and day two, out on ColumbiaBasinHerald.com, or you can pick up copies of the paper that will have that in there. But in addition to that, we'll have coverage in the Basin Business Journal. And if you would like to subscribe to the Basin Business Journal, there's no cost to that one. All you have to do is email me at editor@ColumbiaBasinHerald.com with your name, mailing address, and we will have that sent out to you so that you can get agriculture and local industry information delivered right to your mailbox. So you can check that out. Next, we've got a tale of two murders. You know, we today in the paper we've got our 2022 year in review, and we had two rather significant cases that came about for Grant County last year. The first one was the murder of Yanira Sedillos by her ex-boyfriend, and you know, we have an update on that. And then the second one is the murder of Teresa Bergman by her husband. And I was hoping, you know, you did a lot of disturbing reading last week.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you had to look at how, you know, some of the investigation went. Both of these are kind of headed toward trials in this relatively near future. So what can you tell us about the Yanira case?
Juan Gastelum is currently scheduled for trial on the 10th of May. We'll see if that happens. Oftentimes trials are rescheduled for one reason or another, but he has been charged with second-degree murder in that particular case. The statement of probable cause issued by the Moses Lake Police Department is fairly graphic in detail, and it outlines what they found and how they went about determining that he was the likely suspect in her death. And a lot of it involves information he left on his cell phone.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I'm going to go with that.
Okay. And with that, you know, I mean, just to remind readers of what and listeners what this case involved, basically, Yanira Sedillos was at her birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sort of disagreement with a friend there, reportedly, and she ended up leaving with her former boyfriend and disappeared. And they later tracked him down in Oregon. He was arrested, and based on his cell phone records and whatnot, they were able to find her remains and that kind of thing. But for more information on that, just visit the website. The story is up there. The headline is Gastelum murder trial set to begin May 10th. Now, the other one is a little bit different, but no less sad and disturbing. We've got the Bergman case. Can you break down just the basics of that for us?
Charles Bergman went to pick up his wife, Teresa, at the airport, at Spokane International Airport. And he did that, late September?
Yes.
Late September, he went to pick her up. Camera footage found them. Camera footage later saw them at the airport. And then it was around midnight, and she was not reported. Her family reported her missing the following Monday because she did not show up for work and she was not at home. And so an immediate, Bergman was sought initially for questioning, according to what they said. But again, in the statement of probable cause for his arrest, he was eventually arrested in Pennsylvania. A lot of that talks about activities he did in the days before, including purchasing a rope, a shovel at Walmart. And it's just, a lot of it was, again, cell phone information, tracking, in this instance, primarily tracking him, and then when the cell phone got turned off. So.
Mm. Right, and, you know, unfortunately, a farmer did find her remains
mm-hmm.
in a field up in Lincoln County, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then the investigation went on from there, and it was a bunch of digital records that just showed that, you know, it's not easy in the digital age to get away with a crime of this nature, but
the amount of tracking, the information that cell phones keep about us, even when we are not using them, when we have them on our bodies and carry them around with us, the amount of information that law enforcement can extract from them is fairly significant.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Moses Lake Police Chief Kevin Feer was in here on a few episodes ago on the Studio Basin, and he was telling us that, you know, there's limits on when they go in there, but in this they had clear reasons to
mm-hmm.
you know, look at the records in these devices or about these devices, where they were, what was going on with them, that kind of thing, to move in there, because they still need some sort of probable cause to, you know, look at that type of data, or even to break into a cell phone and track down what's going on there. So it's privacy is still there, but just, you know, it's being tracked, and
being
if
tracked.
Needed, you know, investigators can get into that. But with that, we're going to...
And the trial for Mr. Bergman is set for the 17th of May.
So we'll be out at courtrooms in May to make sure that we keep folks up to date on those particular cases. But also, after we go through that type of story, we like to tap into something a little more positive. So again, if you have a news tip on someone doing something good in the community
Absolutely.
That can lift us all up and make us feel a little bit better, go ahead and email those to us, please, at editor@ColumbiaBasinHerald.com. It can be someone that's helping the homeless. It can be someone who is just out there taking care of coaching kids, anything like that. And with coaching kids, we're about to move into the sports section. So can you read us in?
The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the readers of the Columbia Basin Herald. The paper serves the entirety of Grant and Adams counties in central and eastern Washington, which has strong traditions in agriculture, industry, and taking care of one another. The Columbia Basin Herald is grateful to our readers for their support and to our advertisers who support our efforts to keep the communities we serve informed.
All right. Thank you again, Charles. And, of course, you know, as always in the studio, we've got Ian Bavona here. He's our sports reporter. And, Ian, you've been all over the place the last week, just like you usually are. So
yeah.
Let us know what's going on in the sports world.
All right, well, we'll do a quick recap of some of the things I went to over the last week. On last Saturday, I was at the Quincy Matt Animal Tournament. It's kind of a recent tournament that started up in the last few years. There were a couple local wrestling teams there. This is boys wrestling, by the way. In fifth place were the Afraid of Tigers. In ninth place were the Quincy Jackrabbits. In 10th were the Warden Cougars. In 13th were the Royal Knights. And in 17th were the Waluke Warriors. It's a really cool environment they had. Obviously, everyone's wrestling in the main gym. You know, they got those tall stands. Everyone's
right.
like, I think there was 20 total teams there. And there's like little signs posting saying like, here's where the Warriors sit. Here's where the Jackrabbits sit. And it's kind of all the way down the line. It's just everyone in the gym. Really fun environment. A lot of mats on the floor. So it was a lot of fun being at Quincy. We had a couple local wrestlers finish atop their weight classes. Royals Dennis Hernandez in the 113 and Quincy's David Medina in the 220 weight class. So congratulations to them. That was pretty fun to see. That was a really great environment at Quincy on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it's always nice when you see the, you know, just the community come out to support the kids, you know, whether it's wrestling, football, baseball, or basketball, which I think you're probably about to launch into.
Yeah, so there's a couple basketball games this past week. We'll get started with Moses Lake, and then we'll move on into Quincy.
Okay.
So Moses Lake, they fell to Davis 81-59 last Friday. While the score didn't really end up in Moses Lake's favor, it was actually just a 1-point game at halftime. They were down 32-31 to Davis. And it's kind of a testament to their depth, I guess you can say. Moses Lake was playing with a lot of kind of bench players that were getting starting time. They had a freshman forward who was starting his first game on Friday night. Just because they have a lot of injuries in the front court right now. But their head coach, Jake Hunt, was proud of the way that all the guys who wouldn't usually be in the game, how they kind of managed themselves on the floor. Davis ended up taking advantage of turnovers and dominating in transition in the second half to kind of pull away with that game. But I think Moses Lake had 4 or 5 injured players who like really would be starting and getting those key minutes on the court. So
yeah. Well, and we hope they heal up quickly, but, you know, good on the kids that got to step up and step forward and show that they do have the talent to, you know, make the team shine. And it sounds like if those are the lower classmen, you know, Moses Lake has a good foundation even when folks graduate and move on, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they ended up bouncing back again to win over Wenatchee on Saturday. They won 67-51, so... They're at home tonight against Sunnyside, and I believe they have another game this weekend. And then we're kind of entering the last couple weeks of the regular season here for a lot of our sports. So it's coming down to the wire everywhere.
That's all right. We'll still find plenty of work for you to do.
Oh, that's fine. And then moving on into Quincy, they defeated OMAC 83-74 to win their second straight Caribou Trail League title. I was talking with their head coach, Scott Bierlink. He said he doesn't know exactly how long it's been, but it's been a very long time since someone has won that league in basketball in back-to-back years. So that's quite an accomplishment for Quincy. Their junior guard, Julian Ibarra, he actually transferred to Quincy from OMAC during the summer. He led the Jacks to 22 points on Tuesday nights. It was 48-30 at halftime. It was a really big offensive explosion for Quincy in the first half. And then the OMAC kind of started to pull themselves back into the game. They cut it to about a six-point lead at one point. And then key baskets in the fourth quarter by Ibarra, Quincy Jr. Aiden Buse, and Quincy Jr. Dominic Trevino. Trevino hit two threes in the fourth quarter to really help them pull away. And yeah, that's the first time, like I said, the first time in a while that someone's won the CTL in back-to-back years. So congratulations to Quincy.
Right. And in the Friday edition of the paper, you've also got a feature on Buse in there. So if folks want to see what he's doing on the court, they can just pick up a copy of that edition of the paper and check it out.
Yeah, great kid. He's having a great year. He scored 50 points against Royal. So, I mean, that's just insane. Only 3 points shy of Quincy's school record. So congrats to him.
Oh, nice. That's a lot of hustle out there on the court.
Yeah, I think he hit 9 threes in the game, and 6 of them were in the fourth quarter. So
only 9 threes?
Yeah, only 9. And he's a forward, so it's not it's not something you see all the time. So
yeah, well, good on him. We hope he continues to do well, and you know, all those players that are hurt or whatever, that they recuperate. But in the meantime, the folks that may not get on the court as much, I'm glad they're enjoying a chance to get out and play. So, and with that, I think we're going to go ahead and close out the podcast this week. Oh, no, we're not, because you've got pro sports to talk about, don't you?
Nope,
no pro sports. Okay, well, fine. we do a recap each week on, you know, pro sports and what's going on. So check that out at ColumbiaBasinHerald.com. And we'll let you all get back to your day here in the basin. Thank you for listening. And as always, if you need anything or have an idea on a story, editor at ColumbiaBasinHerald.com. Thanks for listening. The Studio Basin Podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is me, Rob Miller, and our reporting staff consists of senior reporter Charles Featherstone, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, staff writer Rebecca Pettingill, and sports reporter Ian Bavona. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. You can also see more of our work at basinbusinessjournal.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com, and make sure to download the Columbia Basin Herald app, available for iOS and Android devices. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.